1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Vicki Barker in London. More misery in store for California, already drenched from record rain.
While another atmospheric river moves in, communities are scrambling to sandbag, repair levees, and prepare for even more power outages, while still cleaning up from the last round of extreme weather.
When you look around at the wreckage, the rebuilding looks like an arduous process.
The storms this week have claimed at least six lives, including a toddler who died when a redwood tree fell on the family home.
CBS's Elise Preston. President Biden travels to the border city of El Paso, Texas later today. Reporter Chris Fox on what he'll see and hear.
Overrun shelters have resulted in migrants sleeping on the streets in tents and buses in downtown El Paso. Fernando Garcia is the executive director of the Border Network for Human Rights.
Yes, it's the Republicans, but also the Democrats, that they had done not enough to actually uplift the call for immigration reform.
President Biden and Secretary Mayorkas will meet with local officials, faith leaders, and non-governmental organizations that have supported migrants. They'll also review enforcement operations at the busiest port in El Paso and tour a migrant services center. Chris Fox for CBS News, El Paso, Texas.
The Buffalo Bills are back in action today, less than a week after teammate DeMar Hamlin had to be resuscitated on the field. CBS's Bradley Blackburn reports.
The battle against the New England Patriots will be the first time the Bills play since Hamlin collapsed on the field in Cincinnati last Monday. Saturday, the Bills tweeted an update saying doctors in Ohio see continued progress in the 24-year-old player, but he remains in critical condition. They say he's breathing on his own and his neurological function is excellent.
After days of infighting played out for all the world to see, the Republicans have their Speaker of the House in Kevin McCarthy. But will they find any internal consensus on some crucial issues? Here's CBS's Christina Ruffini.
The first looming concern seems to be the debt ceiling. Look, those six holdouts have already said they're not going to authorize an increase in America's credit limit without specific spending cuts. And those spending cuts they want are likely to put them on a collision course with Democrats in the Senate and the White House, potentially putting America's credit rating at risk.
There was no winner in the Mega Millions lottery draw Friday night, boosting Tuesday's jackpot to $1.1 billion.
My wife told me to come back with the winning numbers, so what can I do?
Got our winning tickets. We're ready to go.
Everybody wants that, you know, American dream, so yeah. It's like, you got to take a chance. It's only a couple of dollars for a billion.
A winner on Tuesday would pocket the third highest jackpot in U.S. history. Odds are $300 million to.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
As a Walgreens pharmacist, I talk with people all the time about little tips and tricks for filling their Medicare prescriptions, like taking advantage of Walgreens 90-day refills to save them a trip, or using Refill by Scan, which is super easy and right on your phone. And for anybody worried about prescription costs, I say, hey, we got you, with low-cost copays on many medications.
Let's talk about making things easier. Walgreens is here. Fill your way and save at walgreens.com/Medicare. See pharmacists for restrictions and exclusions.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job,
not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, It's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies today with a high of 24. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 15. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Highs level off around 29. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. High of 32. Tuesday, under overcast skies. 36 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 16.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
Today we're here with Suzanne White from The Caregiver Warrior and author of a new book called Self-Care for Caregivers. On her website, she states, "I believe caregivers are warriors, fearless, courageous, and passionate about protecting those they care for." What a great title for your company. What a great title for your book. And it's clear you're going to have some really great insights to share with us today. So welcome, Suzanne. Could you introduce yourself a little bit and give us some perspective on your personal background as a caregiver?
I will indeed. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share my story and hopefully some insights that I have for everybody. I came to caregiving, like most of us, rather quickly. My World War II hero bombardier pilot dad had to be taken off an airplane because we were flying my parents down to Florida for the holidays. And he was so exhausted, so sick on the plane, they had to take him out in a wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
Second time he was carried off a plane, yeah, in his life. So he had caregiver burnout. And he was had walking pneumonia. He was starting to have some heart issues. And it was because my mom was showing signs of early dementia. And they had been working together as a team to hide it from us.
Oh.
So, as you know, sometimes they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was trying to compensate so much that he just got really tired and sick. So, we all kind of got together and I said to my dad, you know, Pop, you need help. Can I help you? And he said, yes, really fast. Yes. Okay. And there we were. We were off and running. Being a perfectionist and a control freak, type A personality, I thought I had it all covered.
Easy to say, right?
Yes.
So that's your personal background.
Yes. And it appears that writing and speaking are your main avenues on how you support caregivers that you work with. Can you tell us about a little bit more what called you to do that work?
Yes, I absolutely. And I kind of think, the universe sort of pushed me in a direction. I would often talk to caregivers because I did something really smart in the beginning, which I suggest everybody does. I got a tribe around me.
Okay.
A tribe of caregivers around me. I was lucky. I was blessed. You know, I found a lot of caregivers that I could talk to, and I took advantage of that. And the thing everybody kept saying was, oh my God, they don't tell you this. Like,
right.
There's just so much they don't tell you, you know? So, I thought, well, and I agreed because like I wasn't reading anything. Thank God I had them, you know? So I said, you know what? I'm going to tell people about this, you know? I've been a singer-songwriter. I wrote lyrics. I dabbled in writing. And I just sort of kind of kept notes. and kept a journal. And, you know, just before I knew it, I figured, you know, I'll do a blog and, you know, just sort of built up. And the next thing I knew, I was doing it all the time. I was writing all the time. People were getting in touch with me. I came up with the name Caregiver Warrior, and we were just off and running.
That's great. Are you still caregiving for your parents?
I am not. I lost both of them.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
Within 7 weeks of each other. Thank you so much. Within seven weeks of each other. I mean, they had a bond.
Yeah, they did. Which explains.
Very interesting time.
Well, and it explains why your dad got so burnt out himself in caring for your mom, that there was such that, you know, interconnection of caregiving, but then burnout and then their own health. So it sounds like you were able to, though, put together some people to help you learn about this role that you kind of fell into, but then took over, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
And just to share stories. I mean, you know, I mean, I think we just held each other up. You know, I mean, I was in the beginning, I was doing a lot of commuting because I was in New York and they were in South Jersey. Where I grew up, and I'd be on the highway, you know, I'd be on the, I work all week and I'd be on the highway, you know. So I would just be, I had one friend, Diana, who had taken care of her dad with Alzheimer's. And we would just like, I would just like rant and rave, you know, and I would just sort of, you know, I did this, and oh my God, yeah, I remember that, you know, and just sharing our stories was invaluable. I mean, I found that so, so invaluable. And I just wanted to do it, you know, for myself, for everyone else. And I, you know, it was a little weird in the beginning because I did not get along with my mom. So, and if anyone who knows me, like I'm pretty a straight shooter. I pretty much say what I mean and mean what I say, and hopefully don't say it mean. And I was a little concerned with some of the content that I was writing, but I got over it, and I found out that people really related to my authenticity. You know, that I was making mistakes all the time, and that I was angry, and that I was frustrated, and that my mom is driving me crazy, and I had guilt, and, you know. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff I wanted to talk about, because that's what I needed to hear.
That's wonderful. And that's such an excellent point, and something that I kind of think about, too, and talk about not having any resources to prepare you for, is the fact that I can't say that my mom and I have the best relationship. So I worry about when that day comes, you know, what is that going to look like? So that's probably a whole nother conversation and something we can do a whole nother another show on. But I like how you said you found your tribe. And I'm just curious, we probably didn't share, but Kristen and I have adult children with disabilities. So, you know, they were in therapies and groups since they were very little. So a lot of parents, you know, naturally came together and get to know each other. When you're dealing with in a situation where you're caring for an adult, how do you find that tribe?
You know, first of all, you have to be proactive about it. You know, you can't take no for an answer. You have to dig around. I personally was, because of my age, I think, and the age group of my parents, you know, a lot of my friends were just they were caregivers. I mean, we all sort of fell into it. So, you know, I think just opening up the conversation with people. I mean, but I would talk to people in the grocery store. Like, I would say, you know, like I was proactive. I was like, I'm taking care of my parents, you know. And they go, I am too, you know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, just really constantly putting myself out there. Like, you know, like dating, you know what I mean? You just got to keep kind of do it. And I also, my one friend had found the Alzheimer's Association really invaluable when she, in Poughkeepsie, she was taking care of her dad. And they were so good to her. I mean, she would call the one lady and just talk, you know, and they would hook her up with other people and other groups and whatever. So, you know, church groups, I mean, you know, you just have to, you have to take care of yourself. So you need to find people that understand you.
I love that you're describing being authentic over the vegetable aisle, right? And so, I mean, that's what it takes is, yeah, looking at people and how are you? And well, I'm actually not doing that great. Yeah, I'm taking care of my mom and she's asked me 6 times today where the grapes are, right? And it's like, what can you do except connect with other people who can relate to that? So I'm more curious about digging into some of your aspects of writing before we have to go to our break because I'm not a writer and I really admire people that are writers. And you stated that you kind of fell into it because you've been a songwriter, but I'm curious about which aspects of writing do you enjoy the most?
Just letting loose. Hmm. You know what I mean? Just doing it. And I think that's the greatest gift. I mean, everyone, not everyone does it easily, but I'm really lucky because I do it easily. But there are times when I just write. I mean, sometimes it's not even great stuff. But I find when once I get going, all kinds of stuff comes up that I didn't expect to write.
Okay.
And therein lies the joy about it.
I'm sure it's very therapeutic. Or can be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the intro came from your website that we read earlier. It's really interesting how you describe the caregiver as a warrior. And I love that. I actually got a ring that's engraved that says Fearless Warrior on it. So that's right up my alley. But what made you choose that description?
Well, my dad was a warrior, you know, he was in the service, you know, and I mean, just his loyalty and his commitment and, you know, his intensity about it, and he did it from the heart. And I just thought, you know, that's what we do. We go to battle every day, you know. We battle the healthcare system. We battle doctors and nurses. You know, we're battling medical crises. We're battling the pharmacist. I mean, you know, it's a constant challenge, and you really have to lift your sword up, you know. I mean, the strength and the courage that caregivers have to have and come up with on a daily basis, I just think is very, very similar to fighting for freedom.
Oh, interesting parallel. I like that, fighting for freedom. So tell us a little bit more about your dad's background. You mentioned it quickly.
My dad was he was a bombardier pilot. He was a pilot and flew missions over Germany.
Oh, wow. Okay, so World War II.
Yeah. And that's... World War II, shot down, landed the plane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, amazing. He had scars from his ankles to his butt.
Oh, wow. From the plane crashing down.
And my mom took care... Yes, and my mom took care of him.
Oh. That's what I was going to ask. When he came back, did she have to take on that caregiver role?
She took on that role, and she actually said to me when she lost her first fiancé in a flying maneuver, World War II.
Wow.
So she said that they actually fell in love, my mom and dad, over the pain and grief of war.
Mm. Wow.
Give me the chills.
I know, me too. Well, and it just makes sense why that's kind of permeating through your storyline and then becomes something that you want to help identify as your role and then for other caregivers as well. Interesting. And so with the caregiver warrior concept, can you speak just a little bit more about how the business came together? We've got about a minute here.
Well, my dad actually was in advertising, so he always told me to get a catchy name, you know?
Uh-huh.
So once I came up with Caregiver Warrior, I'm going to tell you, the universe kind of, you know, took it on. So there we were.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a short break here and come back and hear a little bit more about how the universe has directed you to us. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in.
Hey, get out! You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out! I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing, the law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. So the police should be reaching out to this community. And this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been talking with Suzanne White from the Caregiver Warrior. Her mission is to share caregiving wisdom from someone who's been there, sharing approaches, actions, and attitudes that worked for her and she believes can work for you. Suzanne, before we dig into the meat of your suggestions, because it sounds like from your story you've got a lot to share, right? But I was wondering, when you are giving your messages, whether it's through your blog or your book or your speaking engagements, excuse me, somebody can't speak here. That's why I'm not doing the speaking engagements, right? But do you divide things as the approach, the action, and the attitude, or do you kind of put it all together in a more general sense when you're giving messages and suggestions?
I think it's a more general approach. However, my whole wheelhouse or my whole take on all of this is self-awareness. In other words, I think self-awareness for the caregiver is really important. In other words, I feel that we have to be very careful about what motivates us and what's going on with us. So any tips or tricks or strategies for me have to come from your mindset. Mm. And I think that caregivers need to be really, really careful about what they're going through when they're caring for others. And in my particular case, it was, it was for my family. I had family members, and especially with my mom, and I had a really clock what was happening with me, with the baggage and the history I had with her. So my whole take on how are you doing, caregiver, is what are you feeling, caregiver? Mm. And I think then the conversation can go from there. Because, quite often we don't think about what we're thinking about or feeling, even physically, or your shoulders, what's going on with us? It's not something we pay attention to.
That makes sense. And, self-care means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And then we always kind of roll our eyes with the whole bubble bath and go get a manicure and pedicure and that nice stuff. But it doesn't always
It doesn't take you the full mile.
Right. So when you're saying self-care, it's more about going inward in learning how to support yourself and discover yourself in your needs. Am I understanding that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, and you can have the other stuff at your disposal. In other words, my latest book, The Self-Care for Caregivers, has stuff in that about, when you're shopping for Pampers, like for adult diapers, or Depends, make a stop at the bath body gel counter for yourself and throw that in the basket. But having said that, you need to know when you need to pull those tools out. In other words, if you're just plowing through and not paying attention to the fact that, you have a splitting headache, or you're nauseous, or, you're about, you're up here with your nervous system, you're going to hit the wall. So, we're all going to have caregiver burnout. It just, stop the caregiver. No, we're all going to have burnout. Do you want to hit the wall at 20 miles an hour, or are you going to hit the wall at 150 miles an hour? Mm. That's what I want to discuss. And only if you're self-aware or you're aware of what you're going through can you then say, whoa, halt, am I hungry, angry, lonely, tired? You know, what do I need to do? Do I need to eat something? You know, do I need to like scream in the closet? Do anything? You know, but be aware, like don't wait until it's too late. So yeah, my whole thing is like, really check out, who you are and what's happening.
This is really resonating with me because I'm thinking about some of the times that in caregiving for Nicole. She's my daughter with special needs. She's 21 and has autism, epilepsy, and an intellectual disability. So the complexity turns medical, emotional, cognitive, all this stuff, right? And for a long time, I was running at 150 miles an hour. And I was like this and up. And I did crash into the wall. And it was bad. It was a bad panic attack. And that's so... I don't ever want to be there again. And so I'm so glad that you're describing it as, of course we're going to burn out. Of course we're going to break down. But let's do it at 20 miles per hour, which is where I think I am now with a lot of the work I've done, which has been around exactly what you're talking about. How do I tap into how I'm feeling so that when I do want to scream, I'm not screaming at Nicole while I'm also doing six other things and then just escalating her, right? I need to go step outside or, wherever I need to go in a closet and just get that out. And I really, really appreciate that. That metaphor, that vision. I'm visualizing myself slamming into a wall at 150 miles an hour and now at 20 miles an hour. And I'm like, yeah, that is a little bit more comfortable. So I think I'm going to keep doing this self-awareness stuff.
So is self-awareness the...
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to say that what I find really interesting is I'm sure you're so aware of her triggers, right?
Yes.
I mean, right? You can spot one of her triggers from like a mile away. I want us to pay attention to our triggers when we can also. Do you know what I mean? It's like I didn't know what my triggers were, but I knew what my parents' triggers were. Do you know what I'm saying?
Excellent.
So,
yes.
I mean, I'm trying. Yeah.
That is an excellent point. I have a dog that's dog aggressive and she requires long walks. So I am always on the lookout in every direction. Where is there a dog? How is this going to go? And never aware of myself, what's going on. And sometimes I will stop and I'm like, oh my gosh, I am panicking. I am stressed walking this dog. I need to dial it back a minute for myself because she can feel that too. But not that we're here to talk about dogs. But in getting the sense then, is that the underlining theme of your book, creating the self-awareness? Or can you tell us a little bit more about the book?
Absolutely. There's four areas of what I consider concerns for caregivers, emotional, spiritual, soul, physical, and even the practical side. So I've come up with 140 tips in those four areas. And it's basically things that I used or that helped me become more aware of myself. And then perhaps when I was really right before I went knee deep into stress, stressors that, things that I could do to soothe myself, everything from, screaming, mm-hmm. in the car, I had a friend who would scream in the car when she was driving home. And it's great. 'Cause nobody hears you.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. And, just things that we can do to get us back in our bodies and our souls and to really pay attention to our emotions. And again, we're back to triggers with what, no matter what being it is, we all have triggers, and we all have triggers. Some of them are old triggers. Some of them are trauma triggers from... childhood. So we need to figure out what those triggers are, be aware of them, and then, do stuff to go, navigate through them.
Right, exactly. Well, before we go to this break, I do want to encourage people to visit your website to read more about the book that's coming out and the ebook that you offer free. Your website is www.caregiverwarrior.com, and that's where they can also see some examples of your blog and what an amazing writer you are. We'll be right back after this short break to talk more with Suzanne from Caregiver Warrior.
Thank you.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Jean of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe. Giraffe. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies today with a high of 24. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 15. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Highs level off around 29. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. High of 32. Tuesday, under overcast skies. 36 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 16.
Welcome. Welcome back. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Liza, and I'm here with my co-host, Kristen, and we've been speaking with our guest, Suzanne White, who's been talking about her business Caregiver Warrior and her book that will be releasing soon. Can you tell listeners where they can find the book and when it comes out?
Yes, absolutely. It's Self-Care for Caregivers. It's going to come out September 6th. You can pre-order it from my website now. And I'm very excited about it. And you guys will find this a little bit interesting. They found me. They came to me to write this book, Adams Media. And they found me through Instagram.
Oh, wow.
They were reading my Instagram posts for Caregiver Warrior. And they felt that this is something that they would like to put in a book form. And it's been great. They've been wonderful. September 6th.
Who are they?
It's Adams Media, and they're a division of Simon & Schuster.
Oh, awesome.
Congratulations. Well, that's such a good sign of what a good writer you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. No one has asked me to write a book.
Exactly. None of my posts or comments or quick wit gets me approached
by
it.
Well, it's a really good format for me because it's short. You know what I mean? It's like not a tweet. So, you know, but it's not like a blog, you know, which is 300 words. It's sort of like, yeah.
Well,
so
and
it's perfect for me. I really love it.
As a former songwriter, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's like a chorus.
So in this next segment, we like to ask what we call more powerful questions. They're just questions that kind of push you to go inward and reflect on some of your personal experiences and thoughts. So I'm going to start out with my first one, which is I feel that gratitude is such a big part of self-care. What are you grateful for about this experience?
Well, I had a lot of gratitude about this experience. I always say it was the hardest and best thing I ever did. I healed my relationship with my mom. Mm. And when I tell you that we did not get along, I'm telling you we did not get along. I mean, we are both really similar. We're both very strong personalities, very big. I take after her so much. And we always had to have the last word. And, you know, it was bad. It was really bad. And as she and the last person in the universe she wanted taking care of her was me. She didn't want anybody taking care of her. She ruled the roost, you know what I mean? So not only did it heal my relationship, but it made me a better me because she wasn't going to change. I had to. So I finally got it. But I had to make some changes in the way I was acting and the way I was living my life.
Well, that's interesting. And it leads maybe into my question, which is about resentment, right? So a lot of times the caregiver has resentment for the person they're taking care of. And it sounds like you even came in with some resentment from the past. Excuse me. So how did you handle that resentment?
It wasn't pretty. Mm-hmm. Wasn't easy. And I had a lot of resentment. I had a lot of anger. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of work for me to look in the mirror, and really question why I was triggered, why I couldn't forgive, why I was so angry, why I was so scared. I mean, and it wasn't overnight. I mean, I had to really work at it on a daily basis. But I was able to see her. It was a specific time. I came around the corner and had a big calendar, as I'm sure you guys know, a big calendar with the notes in it so everybody can read it and they know where everything is and the appointments. And here was my self-assured, controlling mother pointing to a date, and she just couldn't connect what it was. She couldn't understand what was written there.
Oh.
And the look on her face and the panic in her, it smacked me, you know, it just hit me so hard. And I said, you know, if this was a stranger, you would be so kind to this person. It's not a stranger, it's your mother. And that opened the door for empathy and compassion for her. And like I said, it wasn't overnight, but it just shifted things for me. And I was able to start to see her as a person and someone I loved. I love her. I loved her dearly. But it just, you know, it was time to let go of all the old crapola.
Yeah.
Like, what was it doing for me? You know, I mean, she didn't care. She was getting dementia. You know, I mean, it was, So I had a, you know, I was, I really looked deeply inside of myself and made some changes in my tone of voice. I made changes in what I said to her, how I said it to her, when I said it to her. Did I need to say it to her? I started some new behavior.
Wow. I'm curious, was that all just personal self-discovery? And you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. Or did you have support or help along the way, you know, going through those emotions?
Right. And I will always answer and questions. I love questions like these. I'm sober 35 years.
Congratulations.
So I was way sober by that time. Thank you very much. And I'm very much into 12-step programs. And I have been doing work with therapy, and I had an amazing therapist at the time I was caring for my parents. I did everything I possibly could to pile on the self-work. And I have a degree in psychology. I have a BA in psychology. So I'm a big self-help, self-work, spiritual kind of person, and will take the help any way I could get it. And I needed it. You know, you need support, even if it's just somebody you trust to listen to you. It can be that simple. Somebody who will tell you what they really think. Somebody you trust, obviously. But, you know, you can always say, like, how am I doing? Do you see me doing anything?
But what's also resonating with me is that you truly, at that moment, embodied the messages from the 12-step programs, right? So having done some recovery work as an adult child of an alcoholic, I very much try to fall back on the serenity prayer, right? The courage to change the things I can. Help me out here.
Serenity.
Right. To accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The wisdom. Exactly. That. Oh, I just got truth bumps. Mm-hmm. I call the goosebumps the truth bumps, right? That is where I've really, in my caregiver journey, had to spend a lot of time, is in that wisdom piece. And as I was listening to you describe, I saw the visual of your mom, you know, pointing to the calendar, and then you going from this angry, kind of resentful, compassionate place. And it's that whole, that wisdom of what you have control over and what you don't. Right. And then knowing that you can't control her, you couldn't change her, but what you could change was the way you were receiving her and the way you were interacting with her. So, Suzanne, I mean, that is a big like pat on the back for you that you really, I mean, it's hard to embody that prayer. It's hard to embody the 12 steps and actually put them into action. And so I really say kudos to you.
Yeah. And that kind of goes nicely into my next question is, you know, what are you currently taking the most pride in, either in terms of your caregiving journey or your business or even personal?
That's a wonderful, wonderful question. I'm really proud right now that I'm showing up. I'm on a completely different journey in my life now. There's a lot of big changes. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on for me. And I think showing up, I've made a decision to really show up no matter what. In other words, I think that there have been times in my life where self-centered fear has kept me from being my best self, and kind of had me hide maybe, or, you know, even with the best intentions. And I don't want to do that anymore. So I'm really proud of the fact that I'm just sort of showing up, you know, because, you know, this work that we do sometimes, because I really believe that anyone that is doing this work, this empowering caregivers in any way, shape, or form, is really so intentional. And I think that, but sometimes it just, you just feel like you're doing it in a black hole, you know, like that you're not helping anyone, or, you know, because caregivers are silent. You know, it's a silent epidemic. They don't really tell you what they're thinking. And so there's times when I feel like, oh, God, why am I doing this? Because, you know, I'm not, you know, and then I'd show up anyway. And then I'll get like a tweet from someone who will say, you know, I just, you know, you don't know me. I just want to tell you, you know, my mom just died. And I just want you to know that if it weren't for you and your weapons of the day and your tweets, I would have never gotten through it.
Wow.
You know? And I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? And so I have, I think it's the self-talk. I think it's how we treat ourselves. I think when I try to be as kind, you know, because I beat myself up all the time. I mean, I'm just as bad now as I was as a caregiver. I mean, you know, I was the most self critical caregiver in the universe. And I think caregivers do that. So I think as I show up and try to be kind and compassionate to myself first, which is a daily struggle.
Exactly.
Then I think I can maybe help another person. And I think that's kind of what I'm most proud of.
Yeah. And
trying to do that.
It's amazing how much we can get in our own way, you know, and be our own worst enemy, and how doors just open when we do show up and be true to ourselves. So I admire everything you're doing in that aspect. And I'm sure that a lot of the stories that you write about in the blog have that underlining theme as well. And I'm just curious, what are some of your favorite blog posts that you've wrote?
You know, there's one that I did that, you know, about my mom, about how I had to forgive my, I'm not quite sure the title was anymore, but how I had to forgive my old mom, you know, to take care of my new one, you know.
That's beautiful.
That was hard. You know, that was a hard one because I, you know, there's still part of me that is, you know, doesn't want to not out her. I don't mean it like that, but I mean, but you know, that, you know, maybe I feel bad that I tell the story about how we didn't get along and how mean she could be. But I think it helps people. And I think, and I know, and I'm just getting goosebumps because I know she's really, because I know she's really happy that I'm doing that, that I'm sharing that. I can feel that from them. It's when I write authentically like that, when I'm able to sort of be really honest about myself, even though it's, you know, it's scary to put yourself out there, that way. But, you know, I always get the most, feedback from caregivers when I'm really honest about, like, how I either screwed up or how much I hated myself when I was doing something or how guilty I felt or, you know what I mean? Or how angry I was. I mean, they're the blogs that I feel the best about.
Yeah. Well, I think you do such an excellent job of being authentic. And I think that's why that resonates with people, because sometimes we don't want to tell people, you know, there's so much shame in our culture. So we pretend, and especially like you said, in the caregiver culture, we're silent and we don't even necessarily even understand we have this role. So when all of a sudden you're feeling all this negative stuff and you don't have any way to vent it, and you read a blog or you see it, it sounds like you send out tweets. Or the message, yes. What was it you said somebody gave you feedback on?
I do a weapon of the day every day.
Ooh, a weapon of the day. Tell us about that for just a moment. What's that?
Yeah, it's a weapon of the day. It's actually whatever I'm struggling with during that day and how I feel we can get out of it. So I can't remember what it's been this morning, but, you know, weapon of the day will be empathy, or the weapon of the day will be self-kindness, or the weapon of the day will be... the ones I love are like, be as kind to yourself as you are to those you care for. Today was just show up.
Just show up. And you've done that. You've done a fantastic job showing up on this show. And we've got just a little bit more we want to cover with you when we get back from this short break. Thanks, Suzanne.
The lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You've been listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been having a fantastic conversation with Suzanne White about her business, Caregiver Warrior, but also about her own personal journey caring for her parents and other family members. And one of the things she's done in this journey is create a vehicle for her feelings through her writing. She's got a book coming out. She's got a little ebook that you can download from her website, www.caregiverwarrior.com. And she's got a great blog there that I was skimming last night. And then it sounds, I just learned that you do these weapons of the day. And so it's just a great way for us to tap into your experience and your vision. I'm curious about, we were talking about the weapon of the day and we were talking about your blog in general and your favorite article, but the one that caught my eye and I was like, I want to ask her about that. It was titled, "We Are All Just Walking Each Other Home. Don't miss the chance to talk about it." Would you mind giving us the story behind that post a little bit?
Absolutely. And that's a thank you, because I like that one too. I'm constantly, because I'm not caring for my parents now, but I'm constantly seeing things that trigger me or memories or whatever. And I was walking down the street and I saw, you know, an ambulette. You know, we have them here in New York, the ambulette. So, and a gentleman was being lifted into, he was in a wheelchair and he was being lifted into the ambulette. And the driver, the man, and what I was assuming was his friend or partner or wife or whatever, they were all like chattering, like talking to each other. You know, and I said, oh, my God. And it just brought back so many times. At one point, I had dueling wheelchairs. I called them. I had my mom and dad both in wheelchairs.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how I, you know, you do stuff. Yeah. And you're like, how do I do that?
Exactly.
But, so, you know, and my mom had her own style, and my dad was a chatterbox. I mean, we were just chatterboxes. And just my dad was such a kind, wonderful, I mean, he just loved everybody. They all loved him. And, you know, we would, and I'm like that too. So we were meeting people and I had so many angels around us. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times people helped us for no reason other than the fact that we just had the kindest, most wonderful angels walking off constantly. I mean, there was always, a bad apple in there, but, you know, I'm good with them.
Yep.
I could take care of them.
Yep, but, exactly.
You know, it was just wonderful. So I thought, yeah. So I thought, I love that saying that we're all just walking each other home. And I really believe that. And I think that so often we can get our heads down and we're so stressed, you know, like especially in emergency rooms and in crisis, you know, we just forget to look up at that nurse, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
Or to look up at that aide or, you know, the security guard
yep.
that's like holding the door for my dueling wheelchairs, you
right.
know, like there's so, you know, there's people there and we're all just trying to do the best we can and walk each other home. And I just want everybody to remember that we all have stories. And so often, you know, you can talk to people and find out about them and then they become invested in you and you become invested in them. And there's caregiving stories there. Everyone is taking care of someone.
Yes, exactly. And they should be taking care of themselves, right? Like we've just been talking about. So there's a lot of the messages
exactly.
that can resonate. Exactly. I've not heard.
There's just.
Sorry, go ahead.
No.
There's just so much out there. I've not heard that expression, "We are all just walking each other home." Does it come from somewhere?
I believe it's, I should know this, but it's a Zen.
Okay.
It's a Zen or Buddhist.
Got it. And so it's something you've heard or read and it was resonating with you. And it's this idea. Let me just check in and make sure this is the teacher in me that I understand that the idea is that because we are all on this planet in this journey of life together, we're really all just walking each other home to whatever home is. And we need to recognize that the people around us are just like us.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
And have wonderful stories and wonderful journeys, you know, and we're on the journey together. So, you know, let's enjoy each other, you know, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. And take care of each other.
Absolutely.
I love that. And that kind of leads it nice into, we like to wrap up each show asking our guests, what are three things that you wish all caregivers knew or that you would like to tell all caregivers?
It's really simple. You can't do it alone.
You should see her face right now, listeners. Yeah. She's looking at us like that good New York look, like, come on, people. This is basic. You can't do it alone.
You can never do it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
No such thing as a perfect anything, especially a caregiver.
Right.
Right? We all have different styles. We all have different ways. And cancel it all at once.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Wonderful words of wisdom. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I encourage all listeners to go to Suzanne's website, caregiverwarrior.com, and pre-order a copy of her book.
It's coming out September 9th, you said?
September 6th.
Okay, great. All right. Well, we plan to invite you back after you've hit the talk show circuit.
Yes.
Once the book's out and released. Right. And we'll be like, we knew her back when, and we'll bring you back on. All right. Thanks so much, Suzanne. You have a great day. We've really enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks, guys.
So, Liza, wow. What was your greatest takeaway from this?
I just love the reoccurring theme of showing up. Is that mm-hmm. how she put it? Or, mm-hmm. you know, just being present.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so easy to for your mind to go from the past to the future, the past to the future, and skip over
the present,
the now.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. So yeah, that's how you were reading the just showing up. I mean, of course it is. It's saying just show up to the now, to the present. But it's funny. I don't know that I even caught that because I'm not in the now enough. Do you know what I mean? I'm such a future tripper
right.
that I'm like, where are we going? What's next? You know, what am I paying attention to? But yeah, showing up does really mean living in the now.
Yeah. How about you?
That story about her mom and the calendar. And, you know, I took care of my mom and we were very close and we are very similar. We got along, although one of the things that she said to me, I mean, I thought we got along, but one of the things she said to me once when I was back visiting and as an adult was after we'd had a fight. But I, to me, fights weren't bad. Fights were like real and we were getting true emotions out. In a lot of ways, I was pushing my mom to get out of her conventional 1950s, you know, female mindset. And she would encourage me on that. She's like, I learned so much from you. And I'm really impressed by what you get from the University of Wisconsin and all that kind of stuff. But she said to me, oh my God, we could never live together again. And I was like, what? And she said, oh, we fight so much and you drive me crazy. I could never live with you again. And I was like, oh, ouch. Right.
Yeah.
So there is a piece that had this kind of anger and resentment in our relationship.
Uh-huh.
And I wish I had heard Suzanne's story or read some of her stuff while I was taking care of my mom, because I did sometimes show up to the old mom, not to the new mom, the vulnerable mom, the one who was sick, the one who was dying, essentially.
Yeah.
And it did. It took having a conversation with her doctor, her rheumatologist, I think they were called, because she had COPD. And he's like, Kristen, she doesn't need anti-anxiety medication. She's not trying to be difficult. She can't breathe. Her lungs are working at a 40% capacity. Of course she's scared. Of course she's anxious. Of course she's vulnerable. And it was interesting because the doctor had just lost his mom. And so he said, I'm kind of being more of a peer here than a doctor.
Yeah.
But like, let go of the medical stuff and just be there for her and hold her hand. And oh, I'm getting the goosebumps again. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, of course, of course, of course. This has nothing to do with all of our angst around antidepressants and whether or not there's, you know, mental illness in our family. It's really just about, here is my mom dying and asking for us to just be there and show up.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. And show up. Be present.
Show up. All right. Well, wow.
Before we leave, I just want to let everyone know who we have coming up in the weeks to come, because we have some super awesome guests coming. We have Harriet Redman from Wisconsin Sib Shops that support siblings of people that have siblings with disabilities. And then we have marriage therapist Robin Schnitzler coming in to talk about relationships, and a clinical psychologist Barry Jacobs, a writer for the AARP, and Roseanne Corcoran from Daughterhood. So stay tuned for some more great shows of the Empowered Caregiver.
Yeah. This has been a show where we've all been able to show up, and I hope the listeners have gotten that message. We have some great stuff coming up, and we'll look forward to talking with more people with these great conversations.
Yeah, do we have a
we don't.
Minute left?
Nope.
All right.
We're getting told it's time to wrap it all up, so everybody,
WFHR,
take care of
yourself. Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.